Hello and welcome back to Sports Sport Podcast. I'm Aiden.
I'm Alejandro.
And I'm Billy.
And today we'll be talking about multiple topics, and we're going to start off with the NBA. Alejandro?
So we'll start with the NBA. So we're starting close to our home with the Celtics, who lost on Monday to the Heat. And then in Miami, and then they beat them at TD Garden. And Dwayne Wade, the retiring Dwayne Wade, got a piece of the old TD Garden floor from Danny Ainge. So that's a nice memorial for them.
Yeah. Nice little gesture from Danny Ainge.
Yeah.
Seeing the battles that the Celtics and the Heat have had against Dwayne Wade,
really,
especially in the playoffs.
And the rivalries. And
those are really interesting. Like
2010s, 12s.
Yeah, in the late 2000s and early 2010s.
Yeah.
Okay. And the Bucks have secured the best record in the league and home court advantage throughout the playoffs. So
yeah, that's been a really impressive year for the Bucks. We've been really good behind like Giannis's, in my opinion, MVP season.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mike Budenholzer, who changed their offense into like a 3-point centered offense, which really elevated them to the next level, made them really good. And right now they're the only team with a chance at 60 wins.
And they put up, Giannis put up like 45 points last night.
And they have the best net efficiency. Like they're the most they average the most differential in games at 9 points, which is really impressive.
Yeah. Giannis has been dominant and definitely key for the Bucks. One of their star players injured though, out for the season, could have a big impact.
Yeah. Isn't that Malcolm Brogdon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's going to be a rip for that.
He was in a good season. He was like a 50-40-90 season.
Yeah.
Like efficiency. Yeah.
Also, the home court advantage throughout the playoffs that they've secured.
That could be vital. Because
they're really good in the playoffs. Yeah. They beat the Celtics like every time at home last year.
Yeah.
In the first round.
It's a big advantage against teams like the Raptors, Celtics.
Yeah.
And then even if they get to the finals, when they're facing the Warriors and things like that.
Yeah.
Big advantage for them that they don't have to play it.
It'll be interesting to see how they do in the playoffs with this new style.
Yeah. It should be interesting because they're one of the teams that don't have like a ton of stars as the other teams.
And they also aren't
but
experienced
still,
in the playoffs.
Yeah, and they're
the
still.
And they were just like
they just
Giannis
work really well together
and
believe in each other.
And they brought in a lot of new players this season, like Brook Lopez and stuff.
Yeah.
Who is somehow shooting threes.
Yeah, because he's improved his three game and has been amazing.
Exactly.
Yeah, and kind of an interesting Nets team this year with D'Angelo Russell really showing out. Hasn't been struggling with injuries as much. Been obviously the key part in that team as a whole because he's the star player.
Yeah,
but,
they're still fighting
for
a playoff spot.
Yeah,
well, I think
really turning around
the
from last season.
I think they're the 6th or 5th seed. Let's find out.
They turned around from last season.
Oh, should they fell to the 7th seed?
I should have the standings.
Because they've
right
lost
here.
Two in a row. They're the 7th seed.
Yeah, this is from.
They're tied with the Magic right now, and the Heat could steal it from them. So, like.
Because things are really close too.
Yeah, they can miss out on the playoffs, but.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's a run for the last three remaining seeds between the Magic, the Heat, the Nets, and the Pistons.
Technically, the Hornets could squeeze in there, but I don't see that happening.
No.
So,
I don't really see it.
Yeah, neither do I. But yeah, the Nets have been a really good season, and they're a really interesting group as a whole because they have they have Dinwiddie, that LeVert, who started really well before his injury.
Joe Harris, who has been a really good 3-point shooter for them.
Yeah, exactly. And then Jared Allen is really athletic and a good rim
protector. Yeah. And D'Lo's playing
at an all-star
level.
Yeah,
he's finally coming into his own, and I think that Magic Johnson trade.
And their coach is also really good, and his system is really respected in the league and his style.
I think the Nets are kind of on the rise, and it's cool how they rebounded from the trade with the Celtics. So
exactly.
Good.
Well,
they've recovered really fast ever since the
D'Lo trade.
They recovered
that time quicker than some other teams have.
Yeah,
who've been in rebuild mode.
Yeah, they need a few more pieces,
and
they can actually contend, which would be really impressive.
And they also have cap space this summer to sign a player. And if I'm a free agent, I'm looking at the Nets as a potential. I want to look at the Knicks. So dysfunctional. Their owner's he's got a lot of bad. He has a bad image right now.
Yeah.
He's not very good.
And if you're
he's the main reason why they've been so bad. But the Nets, fresh. They're nice. They're young. They're a nice team.
They have a better core, definitely,
exactly.
Than the Knicks. And if you're like a free agent person who's rumored to go to New York, like Kyrie and Kevin Durant. Yeah.
And the whole environment is just nicer.
Yeah,
like you see them like dancing on like the bench and stuff. And
yeah.
They're just offended.
Brooklyn has more pieces, more chances to win. They're in the basically the same area.
Yeah, I was reading articles funny how like it's like the switching from like the big market teams, like they're starting to concede to like their little brother team, like thing. Like the Lakers are conceding to like
the Clippers. Yeah, the Clippers are getting a lot.
And the Knicks are conceding to like the Nets because the younger teams, the teams that are always the little brother. They're being hungrier. They're fresher right now. They have just as much cap space and they have better pieces.
Yeah,
and they're like in the same area, so it's like the lore of like Los Angeles isn't only the Lakers anymore.
Mm.
The lore of New York isn't only the Knicks anymore.
And they're in the same city, so basically they're going to get the same media attention and all that, and they're going to be able to build their brand if they want to, which what is most...
Yeah, like the Nets aren't a laughing stock anymore. Like they're a respectable team.
Yeah, and moving on to the Nuggets, whether you want to call it success or luck, how dominant they've been, and Nikola Jokic has been a very consistent and key part of that.
Yeah, they've been on the rise for a few years. Like, if you look at their offense, it was always really good. Like, the last few seasons, they were up there with, like, the Rockets and, like, the Warriors.
Yeah.
It's just the defense that was awful, and they finally got it somewhat together. Because, like, they have a really good, like, young, energetic core with, like, Jokic,
Jamal
Murray, and Harris.
Yeah.
Like, they had always had the team.
Mm.
And they also, like, strengthened their bench this season. Like, Michael Porter Jr. didn't even play.
Yeah.
And Isaiah Thomas barely came back.
Isaiah Thomas is...
But, I mean, he's still a presence.
Mm.
He's a veteran. He's obviously not what he used to be on the Celtics.
Yeah.
He still knows what it takes to get it done. So,
and there's also Paul Millsap.
Yeah. Paul Millsap, yeah.
They have veterans for leadership. Yeah. They have all that. And maybe next season we'll see Isaiah Thomas striving to make a recovery.
I'd just be glad to see him in a more leadership role, more prominent leadership role.
Yeah.
That should be his role.
I want to see him at least get close to what he used to be like, because he used to be such a fun player to watch.
Mm.
And I enjoyed watching him play. Now watching him come off the bench, scoring almost 0 points. It's frustrating because,
he's
a good talent.
Yeah, he was kind of messed up by the Celtics, and then he's just had an awful last 2 years.
Yeah, with the Cavaliers, injury.
The Lakers, and now the Nuggets. Yeah.
Yeah, and the Nuggets are really on the rise. They're 51-26. That's what I have
like,
on right now.
Yeah, their whole core is like nice. They've kept it together for a few years, and it's finally molding together with like their coach, Mike Malone. And then Jokic, Jamal Murray, and Harris have some really good chemistry now.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people predicted that they'd be doing better than the Rockets, Trailblazers, like Jazz, the Thunder.
Yeah, they've been competing with the Warriors, top of the West.
Prior to the season, you'd think that they'd probably be mid seed in the West. Or
in the back of
the playoffs.
Yeah, like seven. Because last season, they missed it out. It was a 9 seed, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've always been competing. They were never really in full rebuild.
Yeah.
And they always have like a really nice core that they just put together, and they just
because they had like nice players who you'd think as borderline like All Star, but like now they've stepped up, like Murray and Harris.
Yeah,
yeah. That's what it was dependent on, and they stepped up, and so have the Nuggets this season.
Mm. All right, so
something interesting to see that I just saw like right now. They're a lot better at home than away, so it's good to get the two seed, because at home they're 32-7, and away they're only 20-19.
So Pepsi Center is really rocking, I guess.
Yeah,
fans are bringing it.
Lonzo Ball, he got rid of his agent, looking for a new one. Surprisingly, is letting his dad do most of the decision making and
still
screening for his agents. Even after
he moved on from his.
He's moved on from the family brand, obviously, and I'm just surprised he lets his dad handle his agents and business stuff.
I feel like it's too much. Alonzo's literally over 20. He's an adult. He has his own house.
Yeah, seeing that he's an adult, he has his own life. I mean, obviously, you want like your dad's approval, stuff like that.
Yeah,
but I still don't think he should be using his dad to do the interviews interviews and stuff.
It's over the top because like his dad's already looking for his agents.
And especially seeing with LeVar's past and how
LeVar's
ridiculous
he is.
Yeah.
It's like he put LiAngelo and LaMelo over in Lithuania. That screwed up all the college
I
careers.
I think there's LaMelo going back overseas.
Yeah, LaMelo is actually going to go overseas instead of playing in college and fighting for eligibility, which is a bad mistake, I think. Still, he's going to play in Europe or Australia or something. So that should be really interesting.
Also, on a side note, I don't agree with the NCAA's rule about that, but whatever.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, it's your image. You should be able to market off of it, but whatever.
As long as you're still of age to be, like, a normal college student,
yeah,
then you should be able to play.
Somebody gives you a shoe deal, and people are willing to buy your shoe with your image on it. I mean, that's not...
You should be able
matter.
To profit off of your
image. Yeah, why should the college care? Like,
the college shouldn't have to pay you to play basketball because they're already giving you a scholarship thing. But
they're making millions off of you.
Yeah, and you should at least be able to get a shoe deal or something.
Exactly.
It doesn't really make sense, I think.
Yeah,
it's
especially
really
with the players who are dominant in college end up not really not getting drafted into the NBA. They have gone to college for sports. They don't really have a future for jobs, all that stuff.
No.
And them not being able to profit off of their college play could really impact their future as well.
Mm.
Yeah, so there's that. And the Philadelphia 76ers have signed Greg Monroe, who is, I don't know if you'd call him a key part of the Celtics.
No.
A key part, I wouldn't call him a key part of the Celtics playoff
push
last year.
Yeah, he was good for the Celtics last year because they needed rebounding.
He was the rebounder that they needed then, and he was a defender that helped solidify an already good core for of defense.
Yeah, when the Celtics signed him, it was like perfect sign for them because he's just solid. He doesn't detract from anybody.
Yeah.
He's a solid
He's
player.
Kind of been bouncing around the league lately. He hasn't really been doing anything.
He was on the Bucks.
He was on
the Celtics.
He
was
on Bucks, then he got
Raptors.
And then Celtics.
Yeah, and then he signed 10-day with the Celtics about 10 days ago. And then he decides to sign with the Sixers on, I believe, which is till the end of the season.
He deserves better.
Playoffs.
He's a solid player.
Yeah, he shouldn't be getting 10-day contracts. He should be getting 1 year's. Which is what he's getting from the Sixers for now. So it's good that he gets to play on a good team, and he gets to. It's a good nice addition.
That should be his role. Like that's gonna be.
It's a nice addition as
bench,
a backup for Joel.
Bench player on a contending team. That's gonna be a role that he's probably gonna take a lot.
Yeah,
I think that's really his only option now because he's kind of he has fallen off a little bit in the NBA as a starting center.
Definitely
so he
not
has
what
to
you would call
to
a
that.
Starter, but
yeah,
a solid bench player to come in. Make sure if you're playing young guys in your second unit that you have someone solid in defense to help with any defensive breakdowns.
He's definitely a good player to have
ball.
On the bench.
Yeah, he doesn't need the ball or anything. He just is there for like an oop or anything.
Anthony Davis has been fined $15,000 for flipping a fan off. I didn't really look into this. I don't really know what happened. I just know that he did it. Immature.
Research.
But
I guess
just
Billy doesn't
move,
give us the scoop on why he did it. Billy?
Yeah, well, I don't have that info.
Okay, well, the players in the NBA recently have just been
wild.
Yeah,
they have.
I mean, some of the things they've said to fans have been with reason or like provoking, but it just I don't know. I think you should be able to keep your cool. I mean.
NBA players have more of a diva status than any other sport, I think. They
have
that type of personality.
Yeah, according to this thing that I'm just reading right now, it says that it doesn't show what led to the interaction to him giving him the finger.
Yeah.
I'm going to assume, was the game at home?
I have no clue.
Well,
I'm just going to assume someone
New Orleans
said that
is,
he was a traitor.
No.
New Orleans
no,
is against
was,
him.
Nope, he was
Everybody
in,
else
was,
is against
yeah,
him.
Yeah, he was in New Orleans. He wasn't the smoothie king.
This
is the Pelican smoothie.
Someone probably said that he's like.
It says.
A
oh, it
snake
says.
Or something
wait,
like
it
that.
Says one source saying the player had been told colorful adjective you, AD. Explicative.
Oh,
like some colorful adjective. I saw that one time. It's funny.
Yeah. So. I don't know. I wouldn't say I'm surprised by this from the Lakers. Sitting out LeBron. I don't know if I should. I'm not going to say surprised. I'm just going to say. I don't know. It's not. It wasn't expected, but it almost was. Seeing that, you know, you want to give
it's
your best player
risk
rest.
If they kept
the I think it's a good move
yeah.
because they're not going to make the playoffs
yeah.
and give the young guys
It'd be an unrewarded
some time.
Risk. You'd just be sitting. He'd just be playing.
Yeah, you're
going to
risk
a
injury.
Lost cause. There's no point. There wasn't.
You're going to risk a big injury to LeBron, and LeBron's kind of just
yeah,
it
is.
It's not his
yeah,
season.
He's only had his biggest injury this season, so
yeah.
like of his career this season, so you don't want to risk anything.
Mm.
That they're being extra cautious, and that's right. And then Devin Booker's also out for the rest of the season with a sprained ankle.
Which doesn't really matter much for the Suns, who are in last place. But
and who suck even with his production.
Yeah, they lost both of his games where he scored 50.
And then he scored 49 or 48, and they still also lost.
Yeah. So
always fun.
Devin Booker can really carry, but can't none of his teammates.
I don't get
how
they're so bad
because
they've been in the lottery so many times. They get like top picks every single time.
They pick good players. They just don't play well together.
Not really.
DeAndre Ayton did barely got the ball. Like he didn't get the ball.
Well, yeah.
Josh Jackson
wasn't
solid
what
piece,
anyone expected.
He's
no.
not
fourth
pick material.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Dragon Bender, who was before that, I think the draft before
oh, yeah,
that
I know.
Was fourth overall.
Josh Jackson.
He,
they could have gone.
We never hear of him.
They could have gone a lot more players. They could have gone. Who was still available for the? Speeda was available. Spider was available.
Yeah.
Who was available?
Well, he
Smith,
is 13.
De'Aaron.
Yeah. De'Aaron Fox would have been good
guards.
For them.
Yeah, but
they need
a guard. Yeah, they need a
yeah.
guard. I think that was a draft full of point guards because Lonzo Ball was in that draft. Markelle Fultz was in that draft. Dennis Smith and like De'Aaron Fox. That would yeah. They should have picked someone like that because De'Aaron Fox is having a great season this season.
Yeah. De'Aaron Fox really stepping up for the Kings. Him and Buddy Hield are going to be really good in the future, I think.
I really enjoyed watching them. It's a shame that they missed out on the playoffs.
Yeah, well, it's a tough Western Conference where the Thunder
really
are
tough.
Currently the 8th seed.
Yeah,
so
but next season,
that is.
But they were behind the Spurs, and I don't think the Spurs are going to be half as good next season, so they can...
I didn't even expect the Spurs to make the playoffs this season.
Same.
But so,
Popovich. It's just magic, and DeRozan and Aldridge were solid too, so...
Yeah. I wonder when Aldridge is finally going to fall off. It seems like he's really
old.
He did
fall off as he did.
Well, he has.
He wasn't that good. He was
but,
really inconsistent. He had some, like, awful
yeah.
games. And people, like, are still on people online not happy about it. Like, he had some pretty bad games this
yeah.
season.
They he's still a
win.
Pretty good player.
But, like, DeRozan had a good game. Spurs only lost by, like, 8. But, and then Aldridge had, like, a really bad shooting night.
Yeah.
So, like, if he, like, just had an average night, they could have won. Because, like, the Spurs have been really pretty inconsistent. Like, I've seen them go, like, they were just on, like, an 8-game winning streak or something. Or not. No, they were 10. And they just lost. So like, and then now they're on a 1-game losing streak.
And last night Popovich got ejected in the first like 52 seconds.
Oh, that was funny.
Yeah, I didn't see the video, but I heard about it.
I don't really know what happened. He
yeah.
kind of just I think
went
he said something to
ref.
The ref.
Yeah,
and
just
got immediately sent
that.
Out.
Yeah,
that's classic Pop.
Right yeah, exactly.
love to see that.
Yeah, I think the refs need to.
The Thunder
have
fallen to the 7th seed and didn't even notice.
Yeah.
That
they're
means
seven now.
That means Thunder Nuggets first round.
They were 8 seed for a little bit.
They were also like the second and third season for a lot bit.
Like they fell off big time, and I didn't.
Yeah, they did. They're 3-7 their last 10, and Paul George stopped being MVP caliber.
Yeah. Right now, Oklahoma City's up 64-60 against the Pistons.
I like that. Week. That means it's the Nets stay in playoff contention, stay strong in playoff contention.
Yeah.
And Kristaps Porzingis is being investigated by the New York Police Department for an alleged rape in 2018.
That's per New York Post, so pretty reliable source for that.
Yeah, it's you never know. These happen all the time with famous athletes.
It's happening a lot lately.
I just didn't think
Kristaps
would be the one to do it, but I mean
the woman who is accusing. Porzingis is asking for a $68,000 payment from the Knicks. I'm assuming as a settlement fee.
Yeah.
Well, no longer will be asking the Knicks because seeing that he's not with them anymore.
Yeah.
I guess at the time the incident he was.
And this has kind of been a lot.
I don't know. I don't know much about that.
I don't know how legal stuff works.
Yeah.
This has been a lot of trouble for the Mavericks and things like that because. It was first reported by Woj that the Knicks informed the Mavericks of the pending allegation while they were finalizing the trade to the Mavericks.
I saw that, yep.
But then the Dallas Morning News said that the Knicks never used the word rape and only extortion when telling the Mavs the allegations. So there's rumors that they didn't even mention the rape, really. So
please avoid the word.
Yeah, so they might have kind of screwed over the Mavericks there.
I don't know.
That might have been why their return for the trade really wasn't that much. Or I'm not really sure on that one.
No clue.
Yeah, and the Washington Wizards have fired their team president, Ernie Grunfeld. Not surprising at all.
Especially because John Wall did not like him.
I think
I'm surprised it took this long.
Exactly.
He has not done anything productive for that franchise.
And they should be a playoff team every single season, yet they're doing pretty – they're not like a 10 seed right now.
It's time for the full rebuild. It's time to just
– I think
they can't do
everything.
A full rebuild. They can't because
you end up with a smart GM, they need to trade away their key pieces and get a lot of draft picks.
A lot of picks, yeah.
No, but they can't do it right now because, yes, John Wall was out, but he's still a great player. And he's like – he put them in that void where they're not going to be contending, but they can't – they're not going to make the lottery either because John Wall is that kind of player. And he's literally secured with them because they signed that huge, huge contract.
They can trade him off.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
They need to trade off Wall. Beal, possibly. Well, I think they should trade off all of their assets.
They're only selling pieces of Beal because no one wants to take Wall. I've seen that multiple times. Like, nobody wants to take Wall.
I'm sure they could find someone for Wall.
He's 30. He just ruptured Achilles walking around his house.
I mean,
he's on a huge contract. And he has an attitude. Like, no thank you.
They could definitely find someone, I think. If you paired up DeMarcus Cousins wherever he's going after the season, John Wall.
I don't know, I want to see DeMarcus Cousins.
Or something like that.
And
Kentucky
John
teammates.
The same dressing. That would not
that fun. Would be interesting, but
that would not
Kentucky connection, that could happen.
Where?
I just think you need to trade him away.
The same team. That just would not be good chemistry.
Get picks.
I don't see that. I don't know. I don't think the Wizards can because they screwed themselves over, and it's kind of funny.
Or you could release.
Yeah.
It's always an option.
That's all. Oh, man, you're giving up.
Well, you got to restart somewhere because with John Wall, they're not going to go anywhere. Nobody wants to sign with them. They don't have a lot of cap. And
I kind of like seeing them in that void. I'll be honest.
But if you want to turn around the Wizards, which obviously firing the team president, they're showing signs that they want to turn around.
They
have to.
It's a funny situation.
John Wall and Bradley
Beal don't like each other.
But like,
yeah.
Their coach is pretty incompetent.
And they need to get Dwight out of there. Why is Dwight even there? Why is Dwight Howard there?
Why is
he in Washington?
He's Dwight Howard.
Dwight Howard needs to retire. And then he went to the Suns.
On to March Madness.
Sure thing.
All right. So, Auburn versus Virginia.
These are the Final Four matchups.
Yep, Auburn, Virginia, and Michigan State versus Texas Tech, which will both be fun to watch tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm excited for both of those games. Michigan State versus Texas Tech, I'm really not sure about, and I'm not sure about Auburn versus Virginia either. Auburn, obviously a 5 seed against the 1 seed. But still, you know, Auburn has been on an absolute tear recently, hitting a lot of key shots and a lot of good shots
with
a lot of players. Even without their
best player, Chuma Okeke. He was their leading player in like rebounding and like all those big categories. Points, rebounding, and assists, and everything. But last game for them, their point guard Jared Harper was really quick. Set up for them, but he hasn't been very good from 3-point range. He's been pretty consistent. So it'd be interesting to see that. It'd be nice for Auburn to have him get going again. Like start shooting well from three again. And the last game, Bryce Brown stepped up really big for the Auburn Tigers with 24 points, and he scored a good amount. He scored crucial threes for them.
Yeah, I think Auburn versus Virginia is
If Auburn wants to win, they just need to keep up their intensity, their style throughout the tournament, which has been quick pace, causing turnovers, fast breaks and threes.
Which is the opposite of Virginia, which is more of a defensive team.
Which is more, yeah, methodical team.
Yeah.
Passing around the ball, good system. That's been their style.
So it'll be,
it's going to be really interesting, yeah.
Yeah. And then we're going to have Michigan State versus Texas Tech.
I really like Texas Tech. I think they're a pretty good team.
They got Culver.
Yep, Jake Culver.
Going to be honest, I underrated Michigan State going into this.
I like Michigan State team.
I knew they were good. I just didn't really – I don't know. I think I kind of just forgot about Cassius Winston, not going to lie. I just forgot.
I can't forget about that because there's somebody in my world history class who thinks he should have been the player of the year.
Oh, okay.
I just can't.
I don't know why. I'm just really feeling the underdogs in these matchups.
I'm feeling Texas Tech.
With Tech and Auburn.
I think they're winning it all.
In the finals, that'll be really, really cool final.
I think Michigan State's winning this one.
State probably will win, but I don't know.
I want
a strong
Texas
feeling.
I like Michigan State's. Like, I don't know. They're just a gritty team. They're great defenders.
Yeah.
I mean,
they took out Duke.
Texas Tech also has really good defense. Like, really good.
I want Texas Tech to win. That's just all I'm saying. So
it would be cool to see the not really historic
basketball
programs.
It's not like the Spartans. It's not like the Spartans are favorite, like overly favorite because they've been
injured. It's a 2-3.
They've been injured the whole time. Their main player is Winston. I mean, like,
yeah,
who's in, like, who you consider an underdog? You wouldn't think of him as a dominant player. So I mean, I don't know. It'd be an interesting game, but.
So Nebraska has hired the former Bulls and Iowa State head coach Fred Hoiberg.
It's a good hire.
Pretty good. I don't really know what to say. I don't have much to say about it. Just something happened.
You got a former NBA coach to Nebraska. I don't really know how Nebraska was probably bad, obviously. I haven't followed them a ton, but it's a good hire for them, and I think Nebraska might have a good basketball program in a few years. You might want to watch them.
Nope.
Hoiberg didn't do good with the Bulls, but he has
well.
NBA caliber coach. So
yeah, he is.
So John Calipari has signed a lifetime deal with Kentucky, even though UCLA was trying to sign him and get him
away for a lot
of money.
He's already the highest paid coach, and UCLA tried to send him away for a lot of money, but he said loyal to Kentucky. I mean, I don't know. UCLA is not really good right now, so.
Mm. And another head coaching signing. Houston extended head coach Kelvin Sampson to a 6-year, $18 million contract.
They had a nice season.
Yeah, they had a really nice season, so good hire for them, from what I've seen.
Well, rehire, because they just
rehire.
Yeah.
Extension.
Vanderbilt has hired former NBA All-Star Jerry Stackhouse to a 6-year deal to become their next head coach. Vanderbilt, not really known as a basketball school.
SEC school.
That's kind of
really
disappointing because they had Darius Garland this season, who I know was injured, but it would have been really interesting to see what Jerry Stackhouse could have done with Darius Garland, who was one of the top point guard prospects.
I'm not sure if Stackhouse has any really coaching.
And who I also wanted to watch really badly, but then he injured his – I forgot what. It was something I meant. No sad.
Yeah. I think Stackhouse, I don't know if he has any prior, like, experience.
No, but
he
was a good player.
He was a good player. 6-year deal might be a little bit of a stretch, but who knows.
I feel like we could see that cut short.
Maybe a 2-year deal would have been nicer just to test it out, especially with someone who I don't think he's ever coached college ball. So who knows?
Who knows? Okay.
Yeah. And we'll be right back. And we will see you in a minute. Hello, welcome back from the break. We're going to start off with some NBA draft subjects.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about the players who just declared, and we're also going to talk about the draft, which is going to include players who haven't declared yet, but we expect to declare because they're like obvious picks. So recently declared, Jean Morant declared the top point guard prospect by far.
Best player in the draft.
Top prospect overall.
On my mind.
Yep.
Okay, anyway, Romeo Langford declared a really good scorer and consistent three-point shooter. Nasir Little declared really inconsistent player, but really good potential and size for his position. as well as a great good scorer, or at least was really good in high school. Kobe White also declared, also UNC player, was
freshman.
Really solid. Yeah.
One and done.
Who was actually the best freshman on that team. Reed from UC.
Nas Reed.
Yeah, Nas Reed from LSU declared. He was a really nice center. And then a Bol Bol declared.
From Oregon.
He had a good season.
I think he should have stayed one more year.
He was injured the whole time.
He didn't do
in
anything.
Oregon, yeah,
wasn't able
Oregon,
to prove himself.
Yeah,
so
and everything Oregon.
It might hurt his draft.
He might have been able to go first overall. He's a really good player.
Okay, anyway.
His stats are... Have you seen his stats from when he actually played?
They were nasty.
Insane.
He played well when he played. Like, we saw him. Like,
yeah, he put up good stats.
He shoots good from three,
yeah,
too.
He was smooth.
He's like 7'3" or something.
Yeah, he
shoots.
And then... the thing I was talking about earlier, Darius Garland declared.
From Vanderbilt.
He could have stayed on a season, but he was already a top point guard prospect and it still has the potential to be top 10 in some drafts. So I would have gone because he already got an injury. I don't think he wants to risk another year, which could hurt him even more.
Mm.
But, yeah, he was a really good player. He can shoot threes. He can do everything well. And I actually wanted to see him throughout the season before he got injured. He would have been really nice to see. Would have been interesting to see on that program.
Mm.
But obviously, he was injured.
And I think we can expect after the Final Four, the Finals or whatever, Culver from Texas Tech's probably going to declare.
Because
he'll be a top
because he boosted his Hachimura probably will declare until obviously Zion and Barrett.
Mm.
I've seen some things saying that Trey Jones should go back. I feel it. I'm
Trey Jones and Cam Reddish should stay.
I'd be really amazed if Reddish, Barrett, or Zion actually went back. That's like a really low chance.
I think Reddish should.
He's still going to be a top 10 pick.
Yeah, Reddish in all technicality
I wouldn't
should.
Take him top 10.
Reddish in all technicality
You wouldn't
should.
Take Reddish top 10?
No, he was trying too hard to show out and just boost his draft stock, not actually play basketball with the team. I think it was too divided that way. So I think he should stay one more year. Prove that he's a team player and put up a stats that he's really capable of.
I think another year would be really beneficial for him with like under Coach
and,
K
and with development.
And he'd be like a star player for once.
Under
look,
arguably the
best
coach of all time.
Yeah, he was literally crammed into like the
college
third,
basketball coach of all time.
Into the he was literally crammed into like the third as a third like best player when he's his whole life he's probably been like the best player. High school he was dominant scorer, got the ball a lot, and then in college he was just squeezed behind RJ Barrett and Zion, which I mean, yeah, it was his choice, but like he probably thought more of a trident instead of a like ranking, and he was just the last in the pecking order. But I mean, he should because it improved him as a basketball player.
Yeah,
he'd be smarter, he'd be more experienced, he'd be more matured. But with the way that the scouts and teams draft,
yeah,
it would really hurt him,
and he's,
he would go a lot lower just for being a sophomore.
He's been prepping for this. Like entering the draft ever since he declared to Duke. That's what he's been thinking of, I'm sure. And I think he's just going to fall.
Yeah, I don't think it's right that teams just say, oh, he's a sophomore, he's less potential for some reason, and then they just pick him later.
Well, that's basically you lose a year of him.
But yeah, but I mean, like Malcolm Brogdon spent all 4 years, one rookie of the year, and is a really solid, great shooter for the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah.
So I mean, doesn't. And then, like, it was.
You do lose players. 4 years of production from him, though.
Yeah. I guess, but. Usually when the players come in, they're more experienced and they're more mature
and
they contribute quicker.
They're ready to jump in.
They're not rushed. They understand this. They understand systems. They understand more plays. They know how to play better. They collaborate better. They contribute to a better environment. And sometimes they usually actually have like have more productive, longer careers. I feel.
I don't see why people. I don't see why people are cautious around sophomores. Going to the draft because it's just a one-year difference, and they're not really losing any years. But I can see from seniors and things like that, they're losing a lot of years in the NBA
but
they could have already had.
But
like,
it's definitely
Anthony
beneficial
Davis.
For some players, and I definitely think Cam Reddish, like he should as a, for his betterment as a player in person maybe. But like, because Damian Lillard came in and he was just off the bat after four years in college.
When
I feel like he would really benefit.
What I was about to say about Anthony Davis is that he declared after his first year and then within those 4 years that he could have stayed, he evolved into from a rookie to a superstar already. He was already all-star, already one of the best players in the league in that fourth year.
Arguably, he could have had some MVP seasons.
During that, he could have still been eligible for college, and he was already a superstar. So
same thing with Devin Booker. He was like the youngest of his draft, and by the time he would have been like a senior, he was already averaging like 25 in the NBA.
So. Yeah. So you can kind of see
still like
you're losing a lot of good years.
Or 23, and he's already been in the NBA like 4 years.
Yeah.
So like, some players don't need it, but I feel like Reddish does because he's not mature. He's not ready. I don't see it.
Yeah.
I feel like if he got like drafted to an NBA team, he just sit there and he wouldn't fit into a role very well. And I don't think he's not ready as a player for an NBA.
Yeah.
But I doubt he's going to
more of a project player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I doubt he's going to take the extra year. And then for Trey Jones, I thought he was older, but he's actually only a freshman.
Yeah. I thought he was like a junior.
I swore that guy had been.
Especially seeing the way he broke down in tears after they lost that game. I thought it must have been his last year.
I thought he had been there for a few. I swore he had been in Duke for a few, but no, he wasn't. He was his freshman year. I was like, what?
Yeah.
I searched him up. I said freshman 19. I was like, what? I was so confused. I don't know about him because he's a solid player, and I don't know how much.
I don't think he should declare. He's a solid player, but I think
I feel like he
developing and showing his leadership qualities.
How much more is he going to show in his second year? How much more? Because he's still going to be relegated to the basic point guard. They're not going to make him some player who gets to control the ball. Like he did in high school, he was a really good assist player, passer of the ball. They're not going to give him that. He's just going to come out the same way, only 1 year later. He's going to get less money, be picked lower, and not given much of an opportunity.
Yeah, that's fair.
And have less time with NBA coaching. I don't know. I just don't think he'd gain that much in that 1 year.
Yeah. Another interesting story out of college prospects. Team USA wants Zion to join the 12-man squad for the FIBA World Cup this summer. Interesting choice. I don't know.
I think it would be beneficial.
I think it's kind of cool to see him play amongst some superstars and stuff like that if they decide to join the team as well.
Yeah, this could have some negative effects and it could have some positive effects. So if Zion goes in there, plays bad against professional players, he could be outed as a bust. Possibly, and he could have fall in the draft, but I think that's
the thing is
unlikely.
The thing is, you can only go so wrong when you're 285 pounds, 6'7", and an athletic monster in every way.
Well, Anthony,
like even with little, even with little skill, you could.
Although he was an athletic monster,
and he's a little skilled. Like he can so much with the three, and he knows like how to attack the paint and stuff like that.
Yeah, I just think the positives outweigh the negatives here for Zion. So because he gets the chance to show that he can perform against high level players in the NBA and all around the world, and that will just boost his draft stock, I think.
Yeah, international basketball can help you. Like RJ Barrett was like in I was in high school when he did like the U19 FIBA thing.
Yeah.
And then he won it for Canada. He beat USA and he had like 36 points. That really boosted him because he was showing up for a Canada team who had like no one but him.
Yeah. Or Zion could just not go there and play it safe and just go number one. Because I think right now he's kind of a lock for number one, and Morant possibly.
I think Ja Morant should go number one.
I think Ja should go number one, but Zion, I think it's.
I think Ja should go number one, but Zion will go number one.
Yeah. I think Zion's kind of a lock to go there. And then Ja is like 2-3.
Well, I mean, just because Zion has like, I guess, more potential, because if he does develop correctly, he would be, unstoppable.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's kind of more known already, so he's.
Yeah,
you're going to get more ticket sales, more jersey sales.
Yeah, that's the biggest
more
thing.
More publicity.
He's going to sell you the church.
Yeah, Ja Morant wasn't really as publicized, seeing that he went to a smaller school, Murray State.
And
not many people know of Murray State.
Yeah. It's the big in the Ohio Valley Conference, and you get to like win it to get into the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
Or like finish second like Belmont did, but still, like it's not as well known.
Yeah.
So we're going to get into some soccer with you guys.
Yeah. So, some recent results. Man City had the number one spot in the Premier League.
Yeah, they had yesterday with a win. And then Liverpool reclaimed first place today.
They reclaimed first place with a 3-1 win over Southampton.
Yeah, it was really concerning because Southampton took the lead.
It was. I am not sure. I watched the last 15 minutes of the game. It was 1-1 when I started watching.
I know they were tied with
starting at like
scoring
the 75th minute. They scored twice. So.
Yeah, Southampton scored right away, 9th minute, and then Nabikata tied it, and then the last 10 minutes, Mohamed Salah scored in the 80th minute, his 50th Premier League goal, and then Jordan Henderson off the bench scored 86th minute. So it's been really interesting to see how Klopp manages this team, because now he took Jordan Henderson off the bench, and I think he started Nabikata. I don't know. I didn't watch the game. I just know Henderson came off the bench. Nabikata did start. Their formation was with Fabinho and Wijnaldum with him in midfield, which is a really solid team. But because Fabinho is a really good controlling defensive midfielder who can pass the ball really well, long distance. It's just interesting to see how he brings Henderson off the bench, who's been their captain and long-time starting player. But it worked out for him as they won. But obviously, they've played one more game.
Dortmund, can they stay top of the Bundesliga?
I want to see it happen, but...
I think that's a solid battle. It's going to be really entertaining watching the two German giants.
Tomorrow's the crucial game because Dortmund's up by 2 with the same amount of games, and tomorrow is at the same German Der Klassiker, the classic, Bayern versus Dortmund. So this is going to probably decide it.
Yeah.
And the Google says that Bayern has a 63% chance of winning.
I do not agree.
Yeah, but
Dortmund's
been really
dominant. I'd say it's 50-50. I really don't know.
It's really, they were really dominant, and I think I'm pretty sure Dortmund won the last game. I feel like Dortmund's hungry for it, but I don't know. It'd be really interesting because Bayern's step back into their stride. They were out of shape in the first half of the season. They were really lost, and they weren't also weren't playing James, so that's on them. That's their fault, but they probably played him more. Not a coincidence. So they stepped back into their stride. I don't know, Dortmund, Bayern team could be hotter, but I feel like Dortmund can pull out a win here.
Real Madrid, as most people know, has been under the control of Zinedine Zidane recently.
Mm-hmm.
They had their first game recently, and they ended up losing it.
No, a few weeks ago, they're 4-1 under him now. They lost their first game. So they lost their first game. Real Madrid lost their first game under Zidane. He's played 4 games this season now with them, I think.
Yeah, they lost 2-1 against Valencia. Not a great showing.
Yeah. I think Real Madrid won against Celta Vigo, Huesca, and Valladolid with Zinedine Zidane as their manager again, but they lost to Valencia for the first time. The first time under Zidane. In Italy now.
Moise Keane has been absolutely on fire for Juventus recently.
Yep. I think he's only 19. Yeah, he's 19. He's born in 2000s. Last season, if I'm not mistaken, he became the first player born in the 2000s to score for Juventus. So he's he's really young. He really came out of nowhere because, before last season, he was just, a 17-year-old you'd see on FIFA, and you would see, well, that's a nice player. I saw him there. But he's really stepped into his own this season. He's been really impressive. He has a good size for a forward, for the striker he is. He's really quick. He's 6 feet tall. He's fast. So he has potential. He's played 6 games this season. He didn't play at the first half of the season. And then he scored 4 goals in his last 6 games. He also scored for Italy. So it's really been really impressive. The Italian fans and Juventus fans are really embracing him. It'll be interesting to see how he does in the future as a young player who's really coming out of kind of nowhere. Also in other news with Moise Keane, there was a racial incident with him and the Calgary fans, I think it was, when they were taunting him and yelling slurs at him the whole game. And then when he scored, he ran in front of them. He ran in front of them to celebrate a goal. And there was more controversy after the game when their captain and center back, Leonardo Bonucci, said that the blame was 50-50 and that Keen shouldn't have run up to the other fans. But, yeah, he got a lot of backlash for that, and rightfully so, because it really wasn't Moise Keane's fault. It was just, like, a celebration, which was just kind of like a little gesture to the Calgary fans that he didn't really care about what they said and that their racial taunts didn't matter. But, yeah, it was a nice win for Juventus and really good form. Really good season for Moise Keane.
Yeah. The Champions League this week going to be very entertaining. Excited for that, as always.
Yeah.
So
on Tuesday, it's going to be Tottenham versus Man City. All English matchup, rare thing, especially in recent years. And then it's going to be Liverpool versus Porto. Ajax versus Juventus. No, Ajax versus Juventus is Wednesday. And the rest of the... And then Manchester United versus Barcelona. It's also on Wednesday. So those are the first legs. Or the first legs, first games of the quarterfinals. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in there. I think Man City's probably going to beat Tottenham. Liverpool is going to probably beat by a considerable margin. Porto, Juventus could defeat Ajax, but they just came off of being Real Madrid, so you never know. Man City versus Barcelona could be interesting, but I feel like Barcelona, if they play to their best, is going to beat them pretty well.
Yeah, so more news from Juventus. Allegri, the Juventus manager, made a statement that Ronaldo is looking much better and should be fit to play in the quarterfinals of the Champions League. Exciting because it's Ronaldo in the Champions League. It's going to be entertaining.
Exactly.
That's how it works.
Yeah, he's a top scorer. Season after season, he just shines in the Champions League despite his age, despite anything that's going on. Even when his team's doing badly, even when he's out of form like he was last season for Real Madrid. Like, Real Madrid was out of form. He was out of form. He wasn't scoring a while. And then he just – Champions League came around again, and he just got a boost. He was like, hot on fire again. He showed he was one of the world's greatest again. So it'll be really interesting to see how Juventus matches up against Juventus, against an Ajax team who is confident, hungry, and just came off being Real Madrid. So they'll be full of confidence.
Sergio Aguero is almost fit to play for Manchester City. You can just imagine what that'll do to boost Man City again, because seeing how good they are even without him.
Exactly.
And with their top goal scorer, it's just going to be...
Yeah, top goal scorer of all time for Man City. Yeah, exactly. And also in other news, Barcelona's young wonder kid, 16-year-old Moriba, signed a contract with a $100 million release clause.
Yeah.
So they really value him highly.
I really have never heard of this kid.
Heard...
I mean, he's only 16 years old,
exactly,
which is probably why we've never heard
of
him.
He hasn't played a team. It says that here in an article, it says that he's regarded as one of La Masia's brightest talents, which is La Masia's Barcelona's youth academy, who's really famed because they've produced a lot of great players over the years, like Messi and Piqué and a lot of other players who are in their starting lineup, like Busquets. And, they put in a $100 million release clause into his contract. So it'll be interesting to see if he plays and when he plays.
Yeah.
The contract until 2022.
Definitely interesting. Kind of going to be interesting to see how he comes up. Obviously talented and shows a lot of promise. I'm not sure what position he plays.
Neither am I.
But if he is an attacker, could
I feel
be
like he is, because I don't think they'd give him $100 million, or if he'd be even talked about if he was a defensive player. No offense, defensive player, you guys. I mean, really solid and important. He's a midfielder.
Yeah. So, being a midfielder at a club that has just had Iniesta, obviously, coming up under Messi, obviously, that could be key in development.
This is also
with
huge,
a veteran.
Yeah, this is also huge for Barcelona's academy, which in recent years has like slowed down production. They haven't, like in 2000s, they were obviously famous because like their half their team was like produced from their own academy, like Iniesta, Messi, Piqué, Busquets. They were Alba. They were all from their own academy, and they were getting like they were really well represented. They were like respected, and And that was just like something special about them. But in recent years, like their total team has just been, they've like come back into like the more modern thing of just buying players, like a PSG, like Real Madrid, using their funds, just buying players. But this is interesting for their youth academy again, because this is a young player from their youth academy.
Mm-hmm. Real Madrid, Rafael Varane, one of their key defenders.
World Cup winner.
Yeah, also a World Cup winner. It seems like he's going to get a 50% pay bump in his contract. At least that was offered. Not sure if he was planning on leaving, if he didn't get
a There have been a lot of rumors with him leaving, but Zidane just came back. So.
Seeing that Zidane just came back, seeing that he just offered him way more money, that could be key in Real Madrid keeping one of their star players who is definitely a contender for captaining the team if Ramos leaves and Modric is obviously another option for the captaincy.
As I'm reading this right here, Zidane does not want this to happen. And he was actually the one who recommended the player to Real Madrid in 2011 when he was signed. That was when he was a really young player and really upcoming prospect. So yeah, it'd be really bad for Real Madrid if he leaves, because he's really solid. He's one of the world's best at this point now. And obviously, he started for the World Cup winning France team, and he's been started for Real Madrid's Champions League dominant team. So it'd be really interesting. So yeah, the deal is he's currently being paid $6 million, and they're offering him $9 million amid rumors.
Yeah, so Inter Milan looking at selling Icardi. Not really sure why. I'm assuming
He's been pretty unhappy there.
I'm assuming it's because Icardi has probably put in a. I don't think he's put in a formal request, but I'm pretty sure he's made it known to management
he
not want
to
be there
anymore.
He doesn't
make like hints like to the public and like fans and like to the media.
Kind
of like in a Kyrie way, like I don't know, like hints.
Yeah, like but Kai, I don't think Kyrie's actually going to
leave. No, I mean hints, kind of like that.
Yeah, I get it. It's questionable. I don't know.
It would be a
Icardi's definitely their best player.
Yeah, he's their best player. Really good striker. He's been really underrated especially because Argentina hasn't been putting him on the international stage for reasons outside of soccer.
The lineups for the Argentina squad have been, in my eyes, kind of questionable without playing Icardi and Dybala, who are
the
two
out of the
key
team,
players.
He's still a questionable player in a lot of people's minds because of his off the field things.
I understand the off the field issues, but still, he's
a
superstar.
But it's been years now, and Argentina is just struggling with strikers, especially because Higuain just retired. So I mean, it's they have nothing to lose at this point.
Yeah. So Romelu Lukaku, his agent has been hinting at an exit from Manchester United. Honestly, it doesn't.
He's fell out of favor with a new manager because he preferred to play Rashford. And honestly, I'll be honest with you, like on FIFA and everything, and like watching the game. And then on FIFA, like I always prefer like Rashford because he's quicker. And in the games, it's the same thing. He's just a quicker, more like adapt player. Like I don't know, he's just more agile, and he fits that like counterattacking, like style that the new manager likes to play. He just fits the more fluid, quicker system that the new manager likes to play, and Kaku just isn't a big part of that because he's a bigger finisher, counts in the, like coach in the box kind of player, not a
Lukaku. He's all right. I mean, see him as the talent that many people hype him up to be. He doesn't really show up in a lot of the big games that mean
that's
a lot.
That's been his criticism his whole career, but it'll be interesting to see where
he scores
where
in a lot of the
go.
Games that don't really matter.
It'll be interesting to see where he could go, because he obviously isn't worth like as like a fraction of the like the 75 million euros they paid the Manchester United paid Everton for him when he was scoring 24 goals a season for Everton. It'll be interesting to see where he goes. And Barcelona supposedly lining up and ready to offer Messi a new contract not shocking. Messi's probably going to stay there his whole career. He's been there his whole career. It's nice to see him stay there because, I mean, that's just the evidence of the one of the greatest of all time.
So in the Premier League table, the battle for a top four spot is very interesting and a very heated
tight
race.
Yep.
It's the battle for the 3 and 4 position to get into the Champions League. There's a 3-point gap between the four teams, and everyone is hungry. They all want to get in to the Champions League, and I can't wait to see how it plays out.
Exactly.
I'm obviously hoping Arsenal gets in.
Arsenal is in
yeah,
right
they're
now.
In fourth right now with Chelsea and Man United in fifth and sixth.
They're in because of goal difference. Chelsea has played one more game, though. Manchester United has also played one more game than Arsenal, so Arsenal, if they play it out well,
they'll
be fine.
Arsenal is in fourth and has played one less game, so if they
They have a better record over their last few games.
Yeah, as long as they don't lose, they should be.
I guarantee you that if they
boost it ahead,
they mess
quite
up,
well.
They'll be made fun of online, though.
Yeah, that'd be very upsetting for me because.
And but Arsenal
could
also
fan.
they could also climb to third because Tottenham has been bottling it even more. They've lost 3 of the last 5.
Yeah, if Arsenal wins, they're put into third place for this week.
Tottenham was Tottenham was to play one more game, so Arsenal could easily take third place right from under Tottenham's feet. So that'd be interesting to see.
Yeah, you could really just go on and on about that that topic. It's just so interesting. There's so many ways it could play out.
I feel like seeing the soccer season.
And more rumors about Antoine Griezmann going to Barcelona.
Yeah.
He's already rejected them once.
But then, like, there were more.
They want him again, but I don't think he'll leave seeing that he rejected them once. I mean, I don't know. It's Barcelona. It's tempting.
A different situation this time because Barcelona is way more dominant, and Atletico is having a pretty poor season.
Yeah, but I don't know. I'm seeing him as a player who is pretty loyal to his club so far. I'm hoping he stays at Atletico Madrid because Barcelona just doesn't need to become that Golden State Warriors type team.
Yeah, I feel like he's more willing to leave this time, though, from what I've heard.
Yeah. And Richarlison, the Brazilian, I don't know if you'd call him a wonder kid. He's not that young.
He's not that young, but he's still young.
But
he's
still pretty young.
He's like 21, I think. And he started off really well.
He's playing really well for Everton. There's been rumors of him transferring to Liverpool. He's been questioned multiple times, stated that he's happy in the Everton squad. And
it'd be interesting to see. I don't know. Like, the Everton fans would not like him for that because that'd be going over to their Merseyside rivals, like their town rivals.
Mm-hmm. And Zidane made a statement about wanting Pogba. He said, "When his experience at Manchester ends, why not come here to Madrid?" End quote. I don't know. Not much to say about that. Just more rumors to spread around.
Yeah. I mean, if I was Zidane, I'd also want Pogba. So.
Yeah. Good player. Solid in the midfield.
All right. So that's going to be it for Sports Report Podcast, Episode 5. So sorry that we forgot about football and MLB and stuff like that. We'll get to that in the next episode. Just some quick hint things. The AAF ended operations of their league, so they're done forever, sadly. Morgan Burnett signed a 2-year deal with the Browns. DeMarcus Lawrence signed a 5-year, $100 million deal. And CJ Anderson signed a deal with the Lions. So that will be it for Sports Report Podcast. Thanks for listening. Be back next time, hopefully, and we'll see you next time.
Make sure to follow us on social media and leave us any suggestions that you may have.